Hello, and welcome to our At Any Rate Emerging Markets Focus podcast, a place for us to discuss recent developments and key issues of focus in the emerging market fixed income asset class. I'm Johnny Goulden from the Emerging Markets Strategy Team here at JP Morgan, and I'm joined by Saad Siddiqui, also from our Emerging Markets Strategy Team. Saad, thanks for joining.
Hi, good to be here.
So, markets have obviously been a bit nervous and focused in the run-up to the FOMC Fed meeting, given the run of US data and the implications for what how the Fed would think about that. We've been talking a lot in this podcast about the repricing in the front end of the US rates curve. Market had been thinking early in the year about 7 cuts that had been reduced to fewer than 3 just ahead of this meeting of the FOMC yesterday. And obviously EM assets had, you know, probably done okay, but weakened a bit somewhat ahead of this, slightly higher local bond yield, slightly weaker currencies. So let's focus this discussion on the Fed and really the implications of how we see that for EM assets. So Saad, you know, really what has EM really been focusing on in terms of the Fed? What were they looking at for the meeting? And what do you think the main implications are of what we saw yesterday from the FOMC for EM assets?
So the risk coming into this meeting was that we would see a hawkish tilt by the Fed in response to what's been pretty firm inflation data out of the US over the last couple of prints, and also Fed speak as well. I think the market was interpreting recent comments as indicating that the Fed is going to be a little bit more hawkish at this meeting. And what that meant in practice is that the expectation amongst many in the market was that we would see that end 24 Fed funds rate dot, that projection to indicate 2 cuts from the median member, FOMC member, as opposed to the 3 where we were. Ultimately, as we know, they stayed with those 3 dots, the 3 cuts for this year. And they did that despite increasing their growth forecast, increasing the inflation projection as well. So I think the overarching message that the markets took from this was a dovish one. We had lower U.S. real yields, higher break-even inflation, and a weaker U.S. dollar off the back of that meeting, which suggests that the market concurred with this dovish interpretation. I think there will remain some residual unease about the fact that the dot for 24 was unchanged, yet it, you know, in the presence of higher inflation and growth projections. So there was some sense maybe that wasn't completely internally consistent. But for the markets, given the risk walls that we might see a more hawkish Fed, the fact that they've come out relatively dovish compared to expectations is clearly a supportive outcome.
And how does that fit in then? Obviously, we have EM who are in their own cutting cycles, which have been going on for a while and actually continuing this week, although not all of them. We have seen some hikes as well. How do we think that fits in the way we think about EM assets, thinking about EM in its own dynamic?
So we've been thinking about more differentiation amongst EMs as far as our rates views are concerned, and as far as monetary policy cycles of emerging markets are concerned. And we have been saying for some time that in the short run, at least, a lot of emerging markets do have monetary policy independence, in as much as that their own inflation trajectories are looking, you know, pretty benign, and the starting point for interest rates was pretty high when they began cutting rates at some point last year. But I think we are seeing a bit more differentiation take place now as these cutting cycles become more mature. We're seeing inflation surprises being a lot more mixed. You know, February had quite a few upside surprises, but also some downside surprises as well. And I think in the aftermath of the last 6 weeks worth of repricing at the short end of the US rates curve, we have seen rates valuations also go from being a little bit expensive to looking, you know, on the cheap side now for EM local rates. That's especially true in some of those high yielders, places like South Africa. Some of the high yielders in Latin America as well are in that category. But aside from the Fed, Johnny, what else do you think is important here now that this FOMC meeting is behind us, it's done and dusted? What should the market be thinking about now about other growth drivers?
Yeah, so the other thing going on is growth. And, you know, we often quite simplistically think about EM as having, you know, two big global macro drivers, one about sort of financial conditions, looking at the Fed, and one about growth. And in a way, that growth driver has been a helpful offset as the market has been repricing the Fed. And you know, thinking about what kind of growth we would like to see in EM is, you know, we'd like to see something for EM assets where you have probably a strong non-US growth with China doing well, supporting commodity prices. If you have a very US skew to that growth, as maybe we had at times earlier on in the year, then that has offsetting effects. You know, you have stronger demand for imports, that's helpful for us, but you can also have potentially high US rates on the back of that. So where we are right now, it looks like we have a global growth environment where actually our economists have been revising up growth both for EM and DM for a, you know, a reasonable period now. So actually growth is coming better than we thought. We have the US decelerating towards trend. We have now this week our economists revise higher China's growth forecast. And so that should all set up EM from that growth driver actually to get some support and to perform okay around that. You know, the Eurozone is a bit mixed. We've seen PMIs today actually, you know, a little bit to the upside on the composite, but manufacturing is a bit weaker, and that can have some more local impacts for Central Eastern Europe, keeping rates lower. But I think overall on the growth picture, it is something which, you know, in many ways we feel is probably not getting enough focus as something which is you know, broadly being supportive for EM assets here. But Sado, if we think a bit more, you know, away from these top down into a bit of the details now, when we, you know, you outline an overall positive picture for EM, but if we think about more specifically which bits of EM local markets, where do you think we're going to see those benefits following, you know, what has been a bit more of a dovish Fed cycle here?
So I think the primary beneficiary is going to be EM currencies, those high yielding EM carry currencies that had been weakening over the last few weeks. We had seen some dollar strength as US rates at the short end were pushing higher. Rates, as I mentioned earlier, is probably a little bit below that in our pecking order, given the more differentiation taking place. And, you know, we have some short end receivers. But really, I think the EM FX carry trade, it's not just now about those consensus high carry currencies. You know, we've been talking about being bullish on BRL, bullish in MXN for some time now. But I think there's a more interesting subplot taking place in the frontier markets as well, in that this type of environment where we have relatively benign US monetary policy, global growth, which is also supportive and keeping asset prices well supported, it's good for those frontier markets. And it's good for the frontier markets, I guess, both for in local frontiers and also on the credit side as well. You know, in local markets, you know, Egypt has been a market where there's been a lot of interest recently after the devaluation of the pound and the rate hikes that came with it. But, you know, you take a step back, you know, there's other markets as well that to me are looking quite attractive from kind of a local carry standpoint. So Latin America has a few of them. There's Domrep, there's Paraguay, there's Uruguay amongst the other frontier markets. So I think that frontier market story has been really going a little bit under the radar for investors in the last few months, but it's looking a lot more attractive now, given a lot of the adjustments have been done. The yields are quite a bit higher, and the macro environment also looking supportive. But turning to credit now, Johnny, how do you think about credit in this environment, given we were seeing that credit spreads were already grinding lower in the last last several weeks? How do you think that's going to now respond to this FOMC meeting?
Yeah, so I think first, the post-Fed environment isn't a troubling one for EM credit. Clearly here, what will probably limit the extent of moves on the index level is just, as you said, the tightening of spreads that we've already had year to date. But interestingly, if you look at what's happened year to date, it's quite a passive move in spreads, in the sense that yields have been pretty constant. If you take our MB index, yields have basically not moved this year. They are 2 basis points tighter. Spreads are 35 basis points tighter. And basically what's happened is, as US Treasury yields have been moving up, the yield on the MB has been pretty constant. And so the risky component, the spread, has basically been shrinking, but it feels quite passive in that way. And it's also been following, it feels, quite a lot that just the global trends, you look at global equities, you look at global credit, we basically perform more or less in line with what we should have given where global credit has been moving. So in both of those, it feels a little bit passive in the way that we have responded, but nevertheless, spreads have been tightening, and that should limit how much follow through we can get on this. It is worth highlighting, though, that there have been some improving fundamental situations, and particularly in some of those frontier or just very low rated countries, where, as I think cyclically we are coming towards the end or past the end of some of the adjustments that these countries have been having to make. And so you mentioned Egypt is probably one on the credit side, also has had a very strong moves. You have places like Argentina, where there's some more optimism under a new government of a change in fundamentals. And generally that part of the market is where we have, for the last 6 months or so, seen more opportunities, different countries at different times, but certainly there is some value in still in that higher spread part of the market, whereas the lower spread parts that, already see really quite tight spreads and might be difficult to see the overall index seeing it, significant tightening from here, given where low spread countries are already trading. And that brings us to the end of this JP Morgan at Any Rate Emerging Markets Focus podcast. Thanks, Saad, to you for joining today, and thank you all for listening. And we hope to have you back again with us for the next one. This communication is provided for information purposes only. Please refer to JP Morgan research reports related to its content for more information, including important disclosures. 2024 JP Morgan Chase & Company, all rights reserved. This episode was recorded on the 21st of March, 2024.